Welcome to King James Seminary. Today's lesson we will be looking at the passage in Exodus chapter 33. Basically, we're going to be looking at that whole chapter, especially for the background information to the actual lesson. But this concerns probably mostly what we'll be reading is verse 13 through the end of the chapter, down to verse 23. The whole lesson is entitled The Cleft of the Rock and should include all the way up to chapter 34, verse 8. So the emphasis right now will be on verses 13 through the end of chapter 33. And we're going to read that briefly and get into the lesson. Exodus 33:13. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth? And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious unto whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand, while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. Let's pray. Lord, we ask now that you open our minds and our hearts unto your word. Teach us thy ways, and we thank thee for your grace. And we ask that you'll build us up in the faith that you give us. Increase our faith, O Lord. For it is in thy name we pray. Amen. Let's get a little background here, backing up into the chapter. Verse 2 in chapter 33. Now God had sent an angel to go with Israel after, if you remember, they had just sinned with the worship of the golden calf. So God sent an angel to go with Israel. This angel went instead of God himself, as seen in verse 3. Quote, I will not go with thee. And this is because of this, the people mourned. So God was going to show that they no longer had fellowship with him because of this great sin. And it had separated them from God. Verse 3, I will not go with thee, is God's statement concerning their relationship. Now, quite properly, upon hearing this, the people mourned. Verse 5, God revealed that he removed himself from their presence out of mercy, lest they be consumed. So it was because of their sin that he had removed his presence with them. They are no longer walking in fellowship. So he, out of mercy, removes himself, lest they be punished. Verse 7 of this chapter. Moses took his own tent and pitched it outside of the camp. And this is called or considered here, quote, a tent of meeting. He took his own tent and went outside the camp to meet with God. And this is a Moses' own place of fellowship with God, away from the camp. The camp of Israel was pretty much still out of fellowship with God. Now, this is not the same as what is called the tabernacle. This is Moses' own personal tent, where he went to meet with God in private, away from everybody else. Verse 8, the Lord talked with Moses out of the cloud. So Moses had fellowship with God here in his own personal dwelling. Verse 11, he spoke with Moses face to face as no other. This is a special privilege that Moses had, that is not spoken of by any of the other prophets of the Old Testament, that they spoke with God face to face as with a friend. Verse 13, he's getting down into our lesson now. Moses says, show me thy way, is more or less asking what God intends for their future. In other words, what way have you pathed out for us? What is going to become of us now, O Lord? Verse 13. Now, the tablets of the law have been broken at the foot of the mount. If you remember, previously, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, and the children of Israel were at play worship before a false god, the golden calf. The original tablets of the law had been broken there at the foot of the mount because of Moses and because of the sin of idolatry by the people. Those who attempted to, quote unquote, pour God into a mold and glitzing him up to make him acceptable could only stand afar off and worship at a distance. Be very careful of humanitizing God and making him sound different than what the scripture actually describes him. God doesn't need a makeup job. We take God at his own word. And we need to make sure that we don't add or subtract from what God says about himself. And if we don't do that, we will come up with an image of a false god, as Israel had done in the wilderness. Exodus chapter 33, verses 8 through 10, Moses asked for guidance in the first extraordinary request. Verse 13, he says, show me now thy way that I may know thee. He's asking for direction. He's asking for a more intimate knowledge of God. This is extraordinary. This is extraordinary from a human point of view. Moses wants to be closer to God. And Moses also here, Moses' intercessory prayer was assured by God's answer that he would grant his presence. In verse 14, so God had said that he would only send an angel before and to go with Israel, but because of Moses' intercession for his people, God says that he will go with them himself. Verse 16 and 17. Hang on just a second. I skipped verse 14. Sorry. Because of this, God's people are to be separate from the world. We don't need to leave that part out. We are to be separate from the world. And this separation is because, this is an important point here, the separation from the world is because of God's presence. Now we can go on to verse 16 and 17. The second extraordinary request is by Moses, is show me thy glory, verse 18. God promised Moses to show him all of his goodness, a portion, which is a portion of his glory. No man can see God's face at any time, so Moses is promised only a portion of the sight, lest he die. Now, this goodness that is shown, as he specifies, is found in his name. Now, the name given here is Lord, all caps, so that is generally considered Jehovah. This glory is found in his name, given visually and as well as visually, verbally to Moses. But as this is also promised to us in John chapter 17, verse 24. You might also look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. He is God and Lord of not just the universe, but of salvation also. Verse 20. Moses was not to see God's face being of brilliant radiance, which would have consumed him. Daniel chapter 8, verse 27, Daniel chapter 10, verse 8, and Revelation 1, 17. But only what is called here his back parts, or afterglow. This is sort of described as the glowing embers after the fire. Verse 21 and 22 are remarkable, in that they point to Christ, our hiding place. God himself finds a safe place for the one whom he knows by name. God places him in the cleft of the rock. It wasn't Moses going to a safe place. It is God himself who places him in an acceptable, safe place. There he covers him with his hand. John chapter 10, verses 28 and 29 simply state that no man can pluck us out of God's hand. So, whom he places there in the cleft of the rock is protected until the appointed time, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Then his request will be answered. Presently, the knowledge of God's glory is a transitory thing. That is to say, it is done in time. He passes by, and we get a glimpse. Now, that's true throughout our entire lives. We get a glimpse as he passes by of his glory. Graciously, we are covered, so no harm comes. God's goodness and grace follows as in the wake of his path. Those who seek his face find rest in this cleft of the rock. And this is Jesus Christ. Going on to chapter 34, verses 1 through 4, to complete the thought of this lesson, Moses cut out two new tablets for the law to be re-inscribed by God. Now, this was an exact copy of the law as first given with no changes. There are those about today who propose that there are changes. There were changes in the second copy of the law. But there is no evidence that would support such a view. Verses 5 through 7 of chapter 34. Moses' prayer request is at this point answered. Excuse me. Quote, "The Lord," all caps, "the Lord God," that would be Jehovah, comma, Jehovah Elohim. Now, this is given as if it came in waves of powerful back-to-back thunder. His name is who he is. Unmistakably Lord. Unmistakably God. He is known and can only be known by his mercy and grace. He is long-suffering, that would be putting up with us daily, and is abundant in goodness and truth. He has keeping mercy and forgiveness of iniquity, which could be looked at as sin done on purpose. He has forgiveness of transgression, which is going beyond the boundary of the moral law. And he has forgiveness of sin, which is to miss the mark. That is the breaking of the universal moral code of God and of man. For so many that cannot be numbered, he does this. Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 and 10 shows the results of his great grace and mercy. Now, what Moses saw in the cleft of the rock, our earthly language is unable to describe. There are those who would have sought more detail in what Moses saw. But our language is unable to even describe it. He saw God's undescribable mercy displayed on thousands of generations. And this is through his name. And it is through his mercy. With that, we will conclude this lesson on the cleft of the rock. This lesson always reminds me of the great Fanny Crosby hymn, "He Hideth My Soul." A wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. What a beautiful hymn. Let's close with a word of prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank thee for the cleft of the rock. We thank thee for your mercy, for covering us over, for providing us with a safe place to hide. And we thank thee for your word, and we ask that you'll cause us to look and seek thy face on a daily basis. For it is in thy name we pray. Amen.